Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, the birthday boy, Corey Waldron, and special guest, Evan Dial. What's up, fellas?
Chilling. Kobe year, baby. I'm set. I'm locked. I'm loaded. Put a 24 on my chest and my back with OTG on it. We're rocking and rolling.
Wow, that's quite an intro, but I'm excited to be here, too.
It's hard to top that. But just a quick reminder, actually a quick shout out for Corey, you know, happy birthday. I've known Corey for a long time, over 5 years now, and I feel like he's grown a lot as an NBA analyst and as an adult this last year, so shout out to him. But now just a plug for OTG real quick. The NBA Outlet, you can listen to it on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and we are now airing on Dash Radio, so be sure to check us out. Starting with our first topic, I know it's something Corey will like, Pacers, they've been on fire. And they've been probably one of the most exciting teams this year. Definitely a surprise. Currently the third seed in the Eastern Conference, 40-28. What are your thoughts on this team?
I mean, I feel like I have to always say this whenever we talk about the Pacers, is how far they come from our expectations. None of us expected the Pacers to be even remotely close to better than a lottery team. And now we're looking at a three seed. They're only seven games back in the loss column to the Boston Celtics, who currently have a load of injuries, and they're just striving right now. You know, a tough win over Boston on Sunday, even though Kyrie got hurt. They beat the 76ers last night in a very good game where Oladipo struggled throughout the entire game, and they still found a way to win. They got a couple, you know, really tough games coming up. They play the Raptors tomorrow, the Wizards again on Saturday. But, you know, it's a collective unit. Oladipo obviously is the heart and soul of this team, and he's the driving force. Your best player is your best player. But, you know, Miles Turner, the last month or so, has shown that he's starting to get a little bit more physical down low. So Bonus has been fantastic. And the bench pieces, which are the biggest question mark for the Pacers, have been playing really well the last couple of games again. And as we know, the bench players, the role players on any team, that's the most important thing for a lot of teams. If you don't have a ton of superstars like the Warriors or the Rockets, you have to rely on those role players, and the Pacers are getting that.
Yeah, I'm super impressed with Indiana. Their last four road wins were, I think, Milwaukee, Washington, at Boston, and then last night at Philly. And then winning at Philly with Oladipo shooting 4-for-21 was just incredible. And they have such a great mix, I think, of veterans and like Thaddeus Young, Darren Collison, a star in Oladipo. And then young guys like Sabonis and Turner. Turner can be a little frustrating, but he's turned it on lately. And this team is hitting its stride right now. They're balanced. They've always had a good offense the whole year, but now their defense is catching up. I think it's up to 11th right now in the league. I think Glenn Robinson, him coming back, just one more perimeter defender was huge.
Huge. Very huge.
That was big. And then Darren Collison has just been so steady for them. And yeah, they're the surprise of the year. I looked back and I had them at 32 wins this year.
Hey, so did me and Nick, so you're not far off.
Yeah, I mean, we thought going to the season, like having 40 wins would be really good for them, and they already have 40 wins now. How confident are you in this team in landing home court advantage? Do you think they'll get that top four seed?
Yes, actually, I am. I'm going to start off with saying yes. And that's only because of two factors. One, Washington is still without John Wall. And two, the Cavaliers are, you know, so hit and miss right now. You know, obviously they beat the Suns last night. I think we all would have been pressing the panic mode button if they had lost last night. But, you know, those two teams haven't been – I mean, the Cavs in particular have not been impressive. And the Wizards have been solid, but they've kind of come back down to earth this past week or so without John Wall. So I'm pretty confident, especially because I think the Sixers are a little bit too far behind to catch the, you know, a three seed. I think the Pacers are kind of locked into a 3-4 seed at this point in time.
Yeah, the win last night gave me more confidence because I think they secured the tiebreaker over the Sixers by winning that game. And look, their schedule is pretty tough down the stretch. It actually might be the hardest, but I mean, they get like they have to play the Warriors, but now they may be without Curry and Thompson, and the other Washington still has a really tough schedule as well. So I think they'll probably be 4, maybe lowest 5.
Yeah, same here. I think low is probably 5. I mean, there's a good chance they can land it. The only thing, like you mentioned, Evan, is the schedule's a little worrisome. What do we think about them in the first round? You know, is this a team that should likely advance to the second round or still mostly regular season success and they'll get knocked out first round?
it really depends who they play against, I think. I think any first-round series that involves the Pacers is going to go 6 or 7 games. I don't think there's any team and that's just kind of how I feel about the East in general. Maybe the Raptors would sweep somebody in the first round, but a lot of these teams, you're not going to sweep. And even if the Raptors, for example, it'd be Toronto and Miami in the first round. That's not a sweep. You know, every team, I think, in the playoffs right now, they're all good enough teams to win at least 2 games, despite whoever they play against.
Yeah, I'm with Corey. I would be shocked if we saw any sweeps in the first round. For the Pacers, I don't think they can win a series unless they somehow get Miami, but I think that's just unlikely. Maybe Milwaukee too, but that also seems unlikely because I think they'll be 7 and 8. But otherwise, yeah, they're going 6 and 7. And look, they've played Cleveland really well, and they would get buckets on Cleveland. And I don't think the Cavs would be super pumped about seeing them.
No, especially with Lance Stephenson, how he's always got those antics against certain teams. The Cavs just – he just has something out for LeBron in general. So that series in particular would be very frustrating for LeBron, especially if this – you know, his supporting Cavs keep struggling.
Corey, what teams would you favor the Pacers over in the first round? Which team – like, which matchup would you want them to get in you think they could probably advance to round 2?
Wizards. I think Washington is actually my favorite matchup of any of these teams. Milwaukee scares me a little bit because just the fact they have so much length, and Antetokounmpo, you can only limit him. That's a big thing for me too. If you look at the Pacers, they don't have a lot of, like, I don't know. If you look at them compared to a lot of rosters, like the Sixers, for example, they should on paper to me torch the Pacers to a degree. I think Ben Simmons is a mismatch that no one on the Pacers can guard, and Embiid is the same way. Miami, they're just too well coached. So personally, I think Washington would be a matchup. Like, if we got a 4-5 with Washington, I would be extremely happy with that.
I would go with the Wizards too. Of the Cleveland, Philly, Washington group, I think the Pacers would much want to see the Wizards the most. And yeah, the Sixers is weird. A lot of the Sixers' strengths are Pacer weaknesses, but the Pacers still seem to play them well anyway. But I would still much rather play the Wizards.
I think because they play, you know, Joel Embiid, obviously, we know he's a rising star in this game. Mm-hmm. I think the big thing for that is, like, Miles Turner sees that matchup, and he actually, like, gets up for that matchup, which you don't really see him do against a lot of other centers, which is the one thing I like to see. But still, Embiid in a 7-game series to me would be very scary with the poor rebounding the Pacers are.
Yeah, in his first, you know, playoff series, he's obviously going to try to dominate. Same thing with Simmons. But you guys mentioned Boston before, and they're racking up the injuries. Kyrie's knee's acting up. It's kind of unknown when he'll be back. They'll probably ease him in. Marcus Smart, torn tendon in his thumb. You know, there are reports he could be out the season, or reports he could play with this injury. Daniel Theis, torn meniscus, likely out the season. Jaylen Brown had that nasty fall, concussion. You know, we don't know when he'll be back. Shane Larkin's banged up, and obviously Gordon Hayward's still out. So what are your thoughts on Boston right now with all these injuries, and could it cost them, you know, seeding or anything in the playoffs just because they might linger?
I think it does. I you know, when you have, what is it, they have like 6 guys on the injury report right now between everybody, that's not good, especially in this part of the stretch going into the playoffs. It definitely, to me, has dampened their title hopes, or even a conference or a NBA Finals appearance hopes. I think any talk about Gordon Hayward possibly coming back, you can pretty much nut those in the butt. Because why would you bring him back if, you know, Marcus Smart's got a torn tendon in his finger? Kyrie Irving's got the bad knee. And then Daniel Theis just went – I mean, that's a little guy. He's out for the season with a torn meniscus. Jaylen Brown had that nasty fall, which led to a concussion that I probably will have him out for at least another 2 to 3 weeks if I'm just guessing. So, yeah, it's troublesome.
Yeah, the injuries are brutal. The good news is they were probably going to be the 2 seed anyway, and I think they'll stay there. I don't think they were going to catch Toronto, and there's too much of a gap between them and Indiana. But, yeah, you could forget – I mean, if they're still banged up by the playoff start, they're in first-round trouble if they have to play Milwaukee or something like that. Theis, I think, is a huge loss. He's been great for them all season as a backup big, energy in boards, which has long been a Celtics' weakest. And then we saw earlier in the season without Marcus Smart how their defense fell off. So for them, honestly, they just need to tread water and hope to get those guys back, or most of them besides Theis, before the playoffs. Otherwise, they're in real trouble.
What do you think would be more harmful to the Celtics? Kyrie at 70% or Marcus Smart out the season?
Man, that's a tough one. I'm going to say Marcus Smart for the season. Because, I mean, we've seen Kyrie ball out at, you know, not 100% in the past. You know, he's played with, like, a broken nose. I understand it's a different kind of injury. But, you know, we've seen him play with some, you know, nicks and bruises before. Losing Marcus Smart is a completely different thing because of his impact on both sides of the ball. Obviously, on offense, he's either going to drop, you know, 15 to 20 points, or he's going to give you 5 to 8 points. It's just the type of player he is offensively. He's streakier than J.R. Smith, which I didn't think was possible. But defensively, he's everywhere. It's like watching that Sunday game against the Pacers. Marcus Smart was picking off passes to Thaddeus Young, to Miles Turner, just jumping over their back and stealing it real quick. The impact he has defensively doesn't go unmatched on that, goes unmatched on that Boston Celtics team.
Yeah, I'll go with Smart too. I don't think they could afford to lose him. His defense is just unreal because of his versatility and his tenacity. And in the playoffs without him, because their offense, I mean, they struggle regardless. They're a below average offensive team. And so they need their defense, and Smart's the key to it. I'd rather have a 70% Kyrie, because, as Corey said, I've still seen him be banged up and still, you know, produce enough.
What teams do you like Boston matching up with in the first round? You know, what teams do you think they'd really dominate and have a chance to end the series? Maybe not in, you know, a sweep, like Corey mentioned, probably not likely in the Eastern Conference playoffs, but, you know, maybe 5 or 6.
I don't see any team in the current standings that Boston would want to play in the first round at their current condition, regardless of who they play. As a 2 seed, if you get matched up with Miami, let's say, that's terrible, because Miami has – any team that can rebound to a high degree is an issue for Boston. So Miami is a really tough one right off the bat, and Eric Spoelstra and that team is very well coached. And I think even as an 8 seed, they're going to give any team – or a 7 seed, they're going to give either one of those teams, Raptors or Celtics, a handful – that entire series. And then Milwaukee, again, who's stopping Antetokounmpo on the Celtics? Like, there's too many mismatches. I really don't like any matchup the Celtics have in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics got upset in the first round, just like they almost did last year. It's injuries play a part into it, but they have a couple issues that I think a lot of these teams could exploit.
Yeah, it's tough. Assuming they're healthy, if I had to pick, I think they would want to see the Bucks the most. Because even though they have Giannis and he'll run some train, Milwaukee's just an undisciplined team, and they're inconsistent. And offensively, they haven't really figured out an identity yet. And defensively, they also suck on the glass too. So I would pick Milwaukee. I think Boston could pull that series out, but there's no one who I think they would be like pumped to see.
Yeah, and I think they've done pretty well against Giannis in this season so far. But back to Marcus Smart real quick. You know, being a restricted free agent, obviously the Celtics probably have their money locked up, I'm pretty sure. What do you think is going to happen with his contract if he's possibly out the rest of the season, or it's a lingering type of injury?
I mean, somebody's going to pay him, whether it's Boston or not. Marcus Smart will get – please don't give him the max, because I don't think a player like him deserves the max. But he's a guy who deserves to get, you know, anywhere from 45 to 50 million over, you know, 3 to 4 years. He's a very good player, and I still have a ton of faith in him. But, you know, for Boston, if he doesn't play the rest of the year, it obviously hurts his value a little bit. But at the end of the day, when Marcus Smart's on the floor, you know what you're getting for the most part. And I don't think Boston's going to be able to re-sign him, just to add that into.
Yeah, it's interesting because the injury obviously hurts the amount he can get, but it also can show how much value he has by when he's off the court. And if they really struggle without him, that could help its case. But my guess is he doesn't stay with Boston. I think another team will sign him too much money that Boston doesn't want to match.
It'll be interesting to see if, like, some of the other Boston guards that have left the Celtics and moved on to other teams have kind of struggled without Brad Stevens, see the impact not having Stevens, you know, coaching Smart, what that does too. All right, moving on to the Western Conference. Sadly, to talk more injuries, you know, news broke about Steph recently, and then Clay broke about him today. You know, Steph tweaked the right ankle. He won't be reevaluated until March 20th. Clay with a fracture in his right thumb. March 22nd is his reevaluation. You know, with the Steph injury, it's kind of unknown. It seems like more of a lingering thing where they're probably just being precautious. Obviously, the fracture for Clay is pretty serious. They've mentioned weeks, but obviously a fracture in your hand that you shoot with can be a big issue. What are your thoughts on these injuries and how much do they hurt Golden State?
Huge. I tweeted about it before. The door is now completely swung open for the Houston Rockets. This has been a race between the Warriors and Rockets all year in the West, and the Rockets are now already two games up in the conference, which, you know, really means nothing between these two teams. But, man, obviously Curry had glass ankles the first few years of his career, and recently it looks like they're becoming glass again. Obviously, I do agree with you, Nick, on the fact that they're probably just being safe because when it comes to playoff time, you want him at 100%. And then for the Klay Thompson thing, the fracture, that's big time. Who knows what happens from here? Does he play with a fracture in his hand? Does he have surgery? If he has surgery, his season's more than likely done. At least I would assume, or he wouldn't be back until like the third round of the playoffs, which at that point, you know, they might not even be in the playoffs depending on how the matchups go. It's bad. It's troublesome for the Warriors.
Yeah, I think the one seed is gone for them. As you said, they're two games back, and I hear they're going to rest Draymond Green the next, and without those two. So they're going to be locked into the two seed likely, and it just hopefully Clay and Curry are fine once the playoffs start. If they are once the playoffs start, I'm fully confident with their ability to win one game in Houston and beat anyone else. But my only concern is just either if their injuries linger. But as long as they're okay once the playoffs start, my money's still with them.
Well, you mentioned the word linger. You know, what do you think are the chances these injuries linger? Obviously, a right ankle sprain or tweak, whatever you want to call it, is something you could re-aggravate in the playoffs. It's happened to Steph in the past. And Clay, obviously, it could kind of hurt his shooting stroke, kind of take him out of the rhythm. He's known to have one of the purest shots, but having a fracture and taking you out for a couple weeks where you can't shoot at all might kind of mess with him a bit. So do you think these injuries will linger, or they'll be able to kind of get everything settled by the time they have to face Houston?
So it just the only thing that I worry about is just the Thompson thing more with the thumb, because that's 2 weeks and they say indefinitely. Whenever they say that, that's kind of – it could be scary. So, I really don't know. From what I read, looks like he not have to get surgery, so that's a good sign. And then with Curry, they said another week at least with the ankle, but it's the second time he's already hurt it this season. So it's hard to know, but at least they say it's not, you know, a surgery. It's most definitely or out for the whole season. So there's still some hope, but it's hard to tell really.
The Curry ankle injury, the only thing I can say to that is the one was a true tweak. I believe one of them, he stepped on someone's foot and just rolled his ankle. And, you know, that's just the luck of the draw. You know, he got unfortunately caught up on another player and twisted his ankle. So as long as, you know, there's no Zaza Pachulia near him or anybody else to try and put a foot on
his feet. He's got to practice with him all the time.
Right. So at least as long as they know, like, Zaza, you got to stay over here while Curry practices. We don't want your goofy ass, you know, rolling over or something. I think he'll be okay. Because, you know, they're gonna take care of him. I doubt we'll even see Curry until probably – April. I'm expecting them to really be cautious. Agreed. With him coming back in, because especially if Clay has a messed up hand, you're going to need Curry and Durant to be even more than what they are already for the Warriors, because that's, you know, was it 18 to 20 points per game you're going to lose. And even if Clay Thompson plays with a broken thumb or a fractured thumb, whatever it is, you know, the odds of him having those Clay Thompson moments in games, I just find it really hard. It's going to hurt like hell to shoot that ball.
Yeah. I mean, that's the luxury of having a Kevin Durant. You know, you have Steph. You can leave him out a little bit longer because you know that he'll be able to win you some games. What injury do you think will have a bigger impact on the Warriors in the playoffs? You know, let's just assume Steph's out to April, but he's at 90% instead of 100%. And Clay, let's say he comes back and his shooting's a touch off. Which injury do you think is going to impact them more?
Ooh, that's tough. I'll go Curry, because Curry matters more to the Warriors. And he's the reason why teams have to guard them differently than any other team. And if he's a little off or he's not making shots, you know, the whole system can kind of go under. I think they could afford a few rough games from Clay. I think that's not the case as much with Curry.
Yeah, I agree. I have to co-sign that. Curry is the driving force of this team.
Can the Warriors win a championship without Klay Thompson? Let's assume he's out for the season. Can they still win a championship?
Wow. Yes. These are tough questions.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, obviously, yes, they can still win a championship because if you look at star power against the Rockets, for example, you know, it's Curry, Durant, Draymond versus, you know, Harden, Chris Paul, and what, Capella is the third guy, I guess, for them. But I mean, I still take the Warriors in that series, even without Klay. But it definitely gets a whole lot harder without Klay.
Honestly, if Houston has home court and the Warriors don't have Klay for the whole series, I would pick the Rockets. It may be 7-6 and be brutally tough, but I would take them. But if the Warriors make it to the finals and they have to play the Raptors or the Cavs and without Klay, they'll still beat them.
See, this is the thing for me. You know, they're not going to miss Klay's offense. For me, the only thing I think about them missing from Klay will be the defense if he doesn't play. Because that's a lockdown perimeter defender. If you're playing the Rockets, you know, Klay Thompson's going to guard either Harden or Chris Paul, most likely Chris Paul, and you'll have Durant on Harden. I'm just guessing. At least that's what I would do. So, you know, missing a guy like Klay Thompson who can guard 1 through 3 for the most part, we know he's an elite defender, that would be the most hurtful thing for that Warriors team. Not necessarily the offense, but the defense.
What do you think Houston's chances are? I know I've asked you this before, Corey, but we'll get it again because obviously these injuries could linger or they might have an impact, and obviously Houston's going to pick up. And like we mentioned, they'll probably land the number one seed and have home court. What are the chances you give the Rockets in a 7-game series against the Warriors?
As of right now, with the fracture and the lingering ankle injury, yes. I give the Warriors a 60-40. I'll give them a 60% over 40. I mean, they're not going to get a ton of percentage. Like, I can't give them a huge gap, but I'll say 60-40.
I'm picking the Warriors as long as everyone of the big four is on the court for when they play the Rockets. If one of them is missing, then the Rockets could win. But as long as the big, even if they're not at 100%, if they're on the court, I'm taking the Warriors.
All right, moving on from there. You know, we'll touch on this real quick. What do you think about the Spurs being out of the playoff picture currently? Obviously, they're tied with the Jazz record-wise, but tiebreaker goes to the Jazz. You know, their schedule is tough. I think second toughest schedule remaining via Tankathon. What are the chances we don't see the Spurs in the playoffs for the first time in a long time?
It's probably like, what, a 75% chance, I'd say, 80% chance they don't make the playoffs. And, you know, that's not because San Antonio's been bad this year. They're still 8 games over .500. But, you know, Denver's right there, you know, knocking on the door. Utah is playing, you know, off their rocker. They've been fantastic. They're pretty much like the Indiana Pacers of the West at this point. They've been insanely good. I think they've won 7 in a row after last night. And then the Clippers, another team. You know, the Clippers have been riddled with injuries, yet they're sitting in the 7th seed. You know, DeAndre Jordan's been really good. Lou Williams has, of course, been solid all year. They've gotten nice contributions. Yeah, ton of good call-ups. A lot of guys are going to get paid from that, you know, those call-up list. So it's definitely tight, but I will never rule out the Spurs simply because they are so well coached. I'm a big guy. Like, there are certain coaches in this league that stand out, and the Spurs have one, as you guys may know, you know, Greg Popovich. So I still think they have a chance. I see Minnesota still slipping down a little bit. I don't think the Clippers will be, you know, this hot for the rest of the season. So I could definitely see the Spurs getting in over one of those two teams.
I still think the Spurs make it. My guess is Denver and the Clippers don't. Kawhi may come back early as Thursday, and I know the first time he came back he looked non-Kawhi. But hopefully this time at least he'll just give him a boost of energy and fresh legs. They're ridiculously injured right now. And the schedule is tough, but they'll get a little healthier, and I just can't count on Pop. I think they'll do enough, but they're probably, if they do, they'll be the 7 or 8 seed and have to start against the Rockets or Warriors. But if they're the 8 seed against the Rockets with Kawhi back, that would be very interesting.
What are your guys' thoughts on Kawhi? Do you think we'll see him this season? Will he be back? What percentage will he be back? Will he be 80% Kawhi? Will he get to 100% Kawhi? What do you think we'll see from him this season, if at all this season?
I need to know they're 100% in the playoffs before I even bring Kawhi back. Like, I there has to be, like, some kind of locker room sit down. You have everybody talk. And there has to be, you know, an agreement between everybody that we can seriously make the playoffs and possibly upset the Warriors or the Rockets in the first round if you come back healthy and play. Otherwise, there's no point to me. Why bring him back for five games, six games, and then get ousted in the first round by, you know, five games? There's got to be, you know, some kind of internal discussion where everyone's on the same page, like, or some kind of team belief. Otherwise, it makes no sense to me.
I mean, the reports are he may come back early as Thursday, but it's like a who knows kind of thing because that organization's so quiet. Obviously, Kawhi himself has said like four words in his life. And you just like you don't know. So, but I do expect him to look a lot better if he does come back than he did the first time. It sounds from what I've read about the injury, you know, they've got it corrected. He's got his strength, his stamina back up. That's a fair point from Corey, if there's a point, but I assume they'll try and make a run because if he is back and he looks good, they have a chance to make some noise in the playoffs and be a real pain in the ass.
On the other end of the spectrum, they're only, you know, 3.5 games back from the third seed. How high could you see the Spurs land if Kawhi's back? Let's say he comes back this weekend. He gets back up into 80% Kawhi the rest of the season. How high could they get in the standings? And assuming the other guys kind of get better too.
I mean, like you said, with how tight it is, they could end up as a 4 seed. I mean, you get Kawhi Leonard. That's an MVP. That's an MVP caliber player. That's an NBA Finals MVP. So if he is – if he's healthy, he's on the floor, and they're, you know, two games out of the 3 seed, they could get the 3 seed. You know, with Kawhi Leonard, everything changes. It just depends on how effective he is going to be back. And you know the Spurs, too, when they bring guys back, they don't just let you play. You know, Kawhi's going to play, you know, 20 minutes probably his first game back, 25 minutes the next night. Like, they're not going to – even if they get him back, he's not going to be full-on Kawhi Leonard right away.
Yeah, he won't be full-on Kawhi Leonard right away, and their schedule is absurdly brutal. So I'm not sure they'll climb too much. They're probably best case scenario is 6, I would guess.
Which could be pretty.
And some tiebreakers that hurt too.
Yeah, I mean, if they get up to 6, that's a big deal. If you get away from Houston and Golden State, you know, you're definitely giving yourself a shot against any of these teams, especially like we've mentioned, Popovich and Kawhi, you know, possibly coming back. But before we get out of here, quick shout out to Russell Westbrook. Recorded his 100th triple-double yesterday. What are your guys' thoughts on Westbrook and this record of having, you know, it's not a record, it's just a milestone in his career. What are your thoughts on that?
We underappreciate it. It's not appreciated enough. We live in the age of the triple-double. We've been blessed with that, I guess. The game's evolved to that. What he does on a nightly basis is absurd. He's one of the most fun players to watch. He literally does it all. I understand some of his rebounds are kind of like, you know, stat hunting, rebound hunting. He cuts off a big man for a rebound. I see Lance Stevenson do it all the time. But he's not doing it for the stat. He's doing it just to get the ball and start a fast break, which I don't know if people understand. It's not like he's trying to, like, you know, maliciously steal a rebound for a triple-double. It's more so him just trying to get it so he can have the ball in his hands. And then the assists, you know, he's surrounded by Paul George, Steven Adams. You know, the assists will come, and he did it last year with even less talent, and he's still doing it this year. He's fantastic. He's still a top 10 player in this league. And if James Harden wasn't in the league currently, we'd probably still be talking about Russell Westbrook possibly winning back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah, I mean, it's credible. 100 triple-doubles is ridiculous, especially since a good portion of them have been the past 2 years, and especially last year when he averaged one, which is still insane. With 30 points. And look, he has some flaws, and I get it, but he's an incredible player, one most fun to watch. And what he's doing, it's historic. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is incredible. I mean, I think, you know, people overlook it because of the rebounding thing and grabbing the rebounds and some of that stat stuffing last year. And I think the counterpoint to him grabbing the rebound would be like the ball moves faster than you dribbling. But I think, like you said, you know, the numbers he puts up, it's just the fact that we're so obsessed with winning nowadays, too. And Westbrook hasn't won a championship. He hasn't pushed the OKC into the Western Conference Finals or anything like that. You kind of forget him about a little bit. Before we get out of here, where would you rank Westbrook in terms of current players right now? You know, top five, top 10, top 15. You know, where would you put him?
All right. Well, I've talked about this before on the outlet. Like, I have two different standards. I have
– We're basing on current season. Current season.
Current season, he's outside the top five current season.
Agreed. He's in the 5 to 10 range this season. I would have to dissect a little more, but he's in that range for this year.
What about not, you know, we're just saying talent-wise, you know, throw everything into the last couple seasons. Where does he rank? Top five or out of the top five?
Top five. If you add, like, the last 3 years – from when they went to the Western Conference Finals with Durant, and then the last year, the triple-double record, and then this year, he's top five.
Agreed.
That's a tough one. I think he'd be right on the cusp. I'd have to really dig deep and look at it. Yeah. But that's enough for today. Happy birthday to Corey. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for hopping on, Evan. And as always, you can catch the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and now airing on Dash Radio.
Beautiful. Peace.